Faith is essential in our life. It's how we begin our walk with God, is faith. In hard times, we often begin to question the wisdom of God. Ever been there? I've been. I can tell you several stories. I've got upset and angry with God. Didn't think he was hearing my prayer. Didn't think he was answering it the way I wanted it answered. And finally, I realized that he does it in his timing. He does it his way. And I don't have it mastered yet, but I'm working on it. I'm learning to keep my mouth shut and let him do the work. It's better that way. Because I don't know what I'm doing, and he knows everything, so I don't want to compete with that. I'm trying not to. James says that faith is essential to experience God's best. I remember saying this once before. In school, we have good, better, and what? How many of you want best, or you want to stay with good? Best. I mean, I'm just checking to see if you're still awake. Some of you are sleeping. Best. God's best. When you get involved, you'll be working for good. But when you get God involved, he works for the best. Pay attention, because you'll have some shortcuts in your life. Stay out of it and trust God. That's easier said than done, by the way. James says that trials can be opportunities to grow to maturity. First of all, in this life, we'll never be perfect. I can tell you that. James talked about that. We read that. Complete. What he means by that, we're not going to be perfect. What he means by that is we need to continue to mature. We need to continue to learn. Why is it that there's so many things you go through and you haven't learned it? You know why you have to go through it again? Because you didn't learn nothing the first time you went through it. So if you find these trials are coming through your life again, it's because you didn't learn anything the first time. So when you're in the midst of a trial, you should be saying, Lord, what should I be learning from this? What are you after? I know you want to build character in me, but what are you after? I didn't pass evidently the last one. So Lord, I really do want to pass this one. I want to pass this one. Help me with this. Show me what I'm doing wrong. James has a strong warning against wavering. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. You ever been to the ocean? Boy, you're missing if you've never been to the ocean. Whoosh. Whoosh. Constantly, it's doing this. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. I was sitting along the edge one day, and one big one came in and just tumbled my wife and I just right upside down, boom. Everybody else got a kick out of it. Sometimes the waves are more aggressive, but most of the time it's just constantly like this. And James says, that's how it is with you. Some of you have faith like that. Tossed by the wind, surf of the sea. And that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in some of his ways, in all of his ways. Not only in religious things, but in all his ways, he's unstable because he's double-minded. Now, I wonder if God wants me to have that. Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't love me. Well, maybe he does. Wow, just like this. This is the way it goes. So why should we rejoice when we go through these things? Remember, we did read that. Didn't he say, there it is, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Woo, really? Sometimes it's awful hard to smile when you're going through a trial. Now, James isn't suggesting here that Christians should be joyful because of the trial, but we should be grateful that God is using this trial or this hardship or this difficulty to purify us or to strengthen us for probably something that's going to be much greater coming in the future. And we're going to get some help, so we better get this right. Because you might be faced with something in the future that's going to be far worse than what you're going through now. So adversity helps us to grow in endurance. Now, that word endurance, anybody that does any running knows what endurance is. You do any running, that word endurance should be special attention to you. Because you're adapting your body to endure. Endurance. When I talked to these runners and hear how the miles that they run, I said, gracious goodness, I said, if I were to run with you, you would have to have an ambulance coming behind me. Huh. I used to be able to run. Wow. I know one day I was running when I lived in town, and the funeral director said, what was wrong? What was the matter? I looked over and said, I was just trying to see if I could still run. I'm sorry. Man, it's been so long since I run. I just wanted to see if I could do it. It was just a short sprint from the house to the garage. Wow. Okay, we're talking about endurance. Endurance. God's working on us. Adversity helps us to grow in endurance. And so we learn to walk in faith despite what our eyes see. Despite what our eyes see. And what they tell us, no matter how hard life goes. Will we ever be flawless? Of course not. And so James mentions it. Perfect and complete is the way he says it. And when we follow this context, it means to be continuously maturing, verse 4. The Father works in our lives until we're perfectly fitted to be the people that he called us to do his ordained purposes. And everybody in here has a purpose. God has ordained you to do a certain thing. There are some people in here that can talk to certain people, and they have no problem talking to them. It seems through my years of experience that God just uses me for the rough, crusted men, because that's the ones I've dealt with and had the best success of talking to them. Don't know why. It's just the way it is. God designed it that way. I don't know why that is. And that's okay, because we're all designed differently to deal with certain people. So what is wavering faith? It refers to that constantly changing of our minds, as James spoke about, being double-minded. Whether God will be faithful or whether he won't. Like the ocean waves that go back and forth between trusting and doubting. Trusting and doubting. And so most of us, almost everybody here, probably has had a waver of faith at some time in your life. Sometimes we're blindsided by circumstances, even in times of peace. One day we can confidently ask God to help with a particular thing in our life, and the next day we struggle to trust him. Now you see that a lot in the Old Testament. One day God's helping the Israelites with certain things, with food and everything else they needed, and the next day they were doubting him. How about that? Not just the Israelites. How about the disciples? What did the disciples have a chance to see? They seen all of Jesus' miracles. They saw his miracles. Yet they're in a boat, and the boat's rocking and carrying on, and water's coming in, and they're afraid. But the master's in the boat. Would you say they had wavering faith? I'd say so. I say they experienced it. They had a lapse of faith. The boat's upsetting, almost upsetting, but the master's in the boat. Listen, it don't matter if there's a typhoon. If the master's in the boat, you're going to make her. Huh? If that boat sinks, you'll bring her right back up. And you'll be in it. That's just how it is. Because he's the creator and he's powerful. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. We need not forget that. Nothing is impossible. We serve a wonderful and awesome, awesome God. So what causes our faith? We're going to look at causes, consequences, and cure. The first one we're looking at is what causes our faith to waver. I have a number of things here that you might be able to relate to. The first one, being uncertain about the will of God. If I were to ask you, are you in God's will? Well, I don't know. Well, you should know. You should know. It's something you should know. Are you saved? Do you love the Lord? You're praying? You're reading your Bible? You're in God's will. For now, you're in his will. And you'll probably be always in his will as long as you continue to serve him and love him. Being uncertain. Our Lord is committed to giving us clear direction. And we need to ask if we lack wisdom. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. And so once we know his will, we can pray with complete faith. Because we're in his will. Number two. Human reasoning that conflicts with faith. Oh, how many times do we try to figure it out ourselves? How many times do you try to do that? Huh? Well, I'm gonna pray and ask God, but I got a backup plan. If it don't work. No, boy. Were you listening when I read a double-minded man is unstable in all ways? Did you hear that? Forget about your backup plan. Trust in God and him only. Trust him only. Human reasoning. Oh, the Christian life won't always look reasonable. Boy, that's a true statement. It doesn't always look reasonable. Sometimes you look at the situation and think, there ain't nothing reasonable about this. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? There ain't nothing reasonable about it. And so our emotions start to grip us. We start having negative thoughts. And all this leads to doubts. One morning, Peter believed he could catch fish. The next morning, he couldn't catch any. I loved it when Jesus came back from heaven and he was in the resurrection. He said to Peter, hey, he said, are you catching any fish? Yeah, Jesus knew they weren't. That's why he said that. Are you catching any fish, you fishermen? Are you catching any fish? You know how hard it was for Peter to say, yeah, I ain't getting nothing. And then he says, well, just put your net on the other side. I can only imagine people, put a net on the other side. What difference would that make? I mean, the boat's only this wide, huh? You're going to put the net from here over to here, and I'm going to catch fish. And I'm sure one of the other disciples by then said, Peter, we haven't caught nothing anyway, so you might as well try it. Might as well just give it a try. And boy, they couldn't pull the net in. Then they knew he wasn't just a stranger. That's Jesus. Only he could do that. Boy, Peter jumped in the water and he swam to the shore. He wanted to go see him. That's the master, he said. I ain't a stranger. Only the master could do that. Sure, cast it on the other side. You'll catch a lot more. Wow. Number three, failing to see God at work in our circumstances. Wow, that's a good one. Failing to see him at work. Just can't see him working. The Lord works slowly than we expect, but he wants us to trust him step by step. Without knowing the outcome, if we respond by faith, good things will come in time. In time. His timing, not yours. Fourthly, listening to negative counsel of others. Ooh. God's got a plan for your life. So be careful whom you turn to for wisdom. You might be discouraged when you share with the wrong people your dreams that God has given to you, that you believe are dreams or God's plan or his path that he's guiding you on. Be careful who you share that with, because the devil's crowd would love to hear it and try to discourage you. They want to discourage you. They want you to believe God's dead. He doesn't answer prayers anymore. The devil would love for you to know that, to hear that. But the devil's a liar. Fifthly, focusing on the circumstances. The more you focus on the circumstances, the bigger your problem becomes. The more you dwell on it, the larger it seems. Focus on the Father instead of on your problems. Focus on the Father. Believe what he tells you about the future rather than your own observations or maybe your own predictions or reasonings. Sixthly, being ignorant of God's ways. We need to know the nature of our Lord to trust him in times of difficulty, because he is ready to reward those who put their trust in him. Our sovereign Father can change a situation at a moment. At a moment. And just like that, he can change it. And then seventhly, living in disobedience to God. There are many today that are willfully living in disobedience. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they still choose to do so. Living willfully in disobedience. Our confidence before God is overshadowed by a sense of shame, because they actually know they probably shouldn't be doing that. So then they also add shame and guilt to their life, and it hinders their faith. And so they begin to have guilt, doubting that we're still saved, perhaps even, because we've sinned. And so they even doubt whether they're even saved or not. And it can interfere and lead you to doubt. So what are the consequences of wavering? Well, first consequence, and I have three of them, is missing the blessings of God. James says that people who doubt won't receive anything from the Lord. God is faithful. He's not ignoring your life. He knows what's best for you. And we can't lose. God's people are on the winning team. We looked at the end of the book and we see who won. We did. Jesus said, I know in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Seek to discover God's will and pray for your life that it will match God's will. Secondly, being blown off course by small things. You let little things get to you? Are you blown off course by these little things? Look for the signs that the Lord's working in your life. Anticipate that the Father will answer your prayer in his timing and in his way. Matthew 21:22, keep trusting. Thirdly, being miserable instead of peaceful. People may begin by trusting God, but when life disappoints them, they give up. But the truth is, the Father has something better for us when our prayers aren't answered as we had hoped. God's got something better. That's why he hasn't answered your prayer. Try this. Lord, I want you to pilot my ship. I want you to be a pilot. You know, I'm tired of going through all these things in my life that brought disappointment and discouragement. And I want to turn it over to you. Turn your life over to him. You'll be amazed at what can happen in your life. And so lastly, I'm finishing. How can we correct or bring a cure to our wavering faith? So it comes down to a decision. Resolve to trust God always. Don't give up in the temptation and become bitter or angry or unfaithful because of life's circumstances. Even in the very midst of adversity, Job was determined to be true to God. He said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job 13:15. You see, we need to have that type of determination. And I might add that other word, endurance. Endurance. Spending time reading the Bible, meditating on its promises. That's the power that can change our thinking. And we will become less vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy because our minds are being filled with the scriptural truth. In times of struggle, we can declare that our trust is in the living God who is fully aware of every need, Philippians 4:19. Looking for the ways the Father is providing can make life an adventure, even in times of struggle. I have a couple questions. Have you ever found yourself bitter when your prayers appeared to go unanswered? Have you been able to trust him again, even after this big loss? Take a moment and think back to a time of adversity in your life. How did the Lord use it to refine you, to grow your trust in him? Or prepare you for his will in your life? And how is God currently using this difficulty or this trial to purify your heart? How are you maturing through this situation? Those are questions only you can answer.